the Word of God.
Every praise is to you. Every form of worship we give is for you, because you are worthy. Now, as we stand to proclaim your word, give us wisdom, knowledge, and understanding, that we rightly divide the word of truth, not that we be glorified, but to give all glory unto you, because you are worthy. We leave this place, we leave better people, because we have heard a word from you. In Jesus' name, for his sake we pray. Amen. Church, amen. To the triune Godhead, to Reverend Dearborn, to Reverend Slaughter in his absence, to our First Lady, Sister Green, ministers' wives that are present, to these deacons and deaconess, and to these ministers of music, to this youth choir, amen. Let's give them a hand. Amen. To you, citizens of the kingdom of God. In the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 8. Deuteronomy chapter 8. Verses 11, 12, and we will go down to verse 18. Verses 11 and 12 of chapter 8, Deuteronomy, and verse 18. Beware that thou forget not the Lord thy God, in not keeping his commandments and his judgments and his statutes, which I command thee this day, lest when thou hast eaten and art full and hast built goodly houses and dwell therein. Verse 18, but thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is he that giveth thee power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant, let which he swear unto thy fathers as it is this day. Go to verse 19. But it shall be, if you do all forget the Lord thy God, and walk after other gods, and serve them, and worship them, I testify against you this day that you will surely perish. Amen. We want to talk about don't forget God. Thank you, Ursus. Don't forget God. Forgetfulness has been a problem most of us experience. And when we look at the form of forgetfulness, when we look at all that God has done for us, we prone to forget to say thank you. Many people search for reasons to thank God, because we limit God's blessings and God's goodness to material endowments. For we believe that we have 3 to 4 cars in the driveway, you can say I'm blessed. If you believe that you have a house where you have to walk upstairs, you can say that I'm blessed. When you look at your bank account, you have so much money, you got to have banks in this state, that city, and that offshore, and in that nation, you can say that I'm blessed. But as you just heard, Sister Odom, money can't buy you out of some situation. A car couldn't drive him out the ER. Money couldn't pay his way out of his brain being fried. The house could not house the condition that was going on in his body. There are some things that cars can't drive you from. There are some things houses can't shield you from. And there are some things money can't get you out of. But I know somebody who can heal your body. I know somebody who can put a roof over your head. I know somebody can give you transportation even without a car in the garage, and his name is God. And the only thing he wants in the return is for you to say thank you. It don't cost you nothing but a few breaths and the moving of the lips and the tongue to say thank you. Maybe somebody's saying, well, Pastor, what if somebody is mute? What if somebody cannot talk? Well, then you can wave your hand. The old folk has said, if I can't say a word, I'll just. We forget God, especially in times of prosperity and abundance. When everything is going well, we tend to forget him. But this passage that we are dealing with today in the book of Deuteronomy, Moses is getting ready to talk to the people before they enter into the promised land. Before they go into the land that's filled with milk and honey, before they go into the land that has been promised by the forefathers, Moses says, let us not go into this prosperity. Let us not walk into this abundance and forget about who brought us here. It was nobody but God himself. And sometimes we can be so wealthy, we can have everything that the heart desire, and we forget about the one who brought us this far. It was nobody but God. And it is sad. The only thing God said, just give me 10%. And then he asked me to say thank you. He said, I'm a leave 90 cents for you, and you just give me 10 cents. And trust me, that 10 cent is nothing compared to what God has already done in your life. There are some situations, I'm quite sure some people in the room this morning can testify that you have been in situations you know you shouldn't have survived. Come on, can I get a witness? You have been in predicaments when you know you shouldn't have made it out of it. Well, I don't know about you. Maybe you just been in church all your life, but there have been some time, Brother Smith, that I've been so drunk, I didn't even know how I got home. There have been so time that I've been so high, I didn't know when one night in and the morning began, but mama prayed for me anyway. And I know that I'm here by the grace of God. And that's why I don't mind telling God, thank you, because that could have been me on that operating table at 28 years old. But here I am, 49, on my way to 50. God's been good to me. As they get ready to enter into the promised land, Moses said, I don't want you to get beside yourselves and get caught up in the milk and honey and forget about when we didn't have it, but who provided it for us. You see, you ain't always ate ribeye steaks. You ain't always had the money to go to five-star restaurant. Sometimes you had just had rice and gravy with no meat. You had spaghetti and just a sauce. You had biscuits and gravy, grits. And see, don't get beside yourself. Every now and then, I bring my family back to the old school. We don't cook steaks at night. I told my wife, I said, go get some grits, go get some eggs, and let's have breakfast at night. How many have ever done that? See, you ain't never done it because you ain't never been that way. See, there were times we didn't have a choice. It wasn't no mama, I don't eat that, and mama, I don't like that. You had to eat what was ever on the table. And if you didn't want it, then you went to bed hungry. But I'm so glad that I was satisfied with whatever the Lord provided with us. Moses said that we are getting ready to go into Canaan. We're getting ready to go into Canaan, the land of promise. And there are some things that we have to take into Canaan with us. All right, look at verse 3. Verse 3 says this. I want you to read the whole chapter in your leisure. We're just going to skip around. Verse 3 says, and he humbled thee and suffered thee to hunger and fed thee with manna which thou knewest not. Neither did thy fathers know that he might make thee know that man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeded out the mouth of the Lord do man live. Number one, write this down. Go into your promise knowing that only God gives real satisfaction. Watch this. There was a song by Queen said, I can't get no. Okay, some of y'all heard it. The reason why he couldn't, because he was trying to find satisfaction in things. But see, bread is what you call the creature comforts. But bread is not promised to always be here. So you can't live by something that is not promised to always be here. He said, man shall not live by bread only, but by every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God. And God said, before my word fail, heaven and earth will pass away. Y'all get what I'm saying? Things may pass away. People may fail you. Jobs may fail you. Families may fail you. Even the church may fail you. But I know somebody who will never fail you, and his name is God. Moses here in the text in verse 3 reminds them of the wilderness experience. He reminds them when they were hungry and they murmured because of their hunger, and God still fed them. Now watch verse 3. Here's your praise cue. Watch this. He humbled thee. He suffered thee the hunger. In other words, God allowed them to go through this that they can be totally depending on him. Sometimes the Lord allows you to go through things not because he don't love you, not because he doesn't care, but he wants you to be totally dependent on him. Because you think the little change in your pocket can give you true satisfaction. God said, I'm going to let your money get funny and your change get strange, and you ain't going to have no other way to pay your bills. You're just going to have to lean and depend on me. How many done been there? How many done been there? How many done been there? Didn't have the means to make it, but you made it anyway. How many done been there? Didn't have the money to pay the doctor bills, but he healed your body anyway. How many done been there? Got a cutoff notice, but your light stayed on. How many have been there? Got an eviction notice, but you still got a roof over your head. God said, I'm going to let you get as low as you can get and show you that I'm the one that can take care of you. He said, because I give real satisfaction. But watch this in verse 3. Watch this, what else he says. He said, I do this to humble you. Some of us are too high up. Just because of what you got, you think you're better than somebody else. God said, I'm going to strip everything that you have and let you know that you ain't better than nobody else. You are what you are because I made you that way. You have what you have because I am the one that gave it. And since I gave it, I got the power to take it away. He said that I may humble thee. Watch this. He said, now I fed you with manna, and you didn't even know where it came from. Let me say it again. He fed them with manna. They only saw it come to them, but they didn't know where it came from. How many have got a blessing out of nowhere? You didn't see it coming. God just dropped it in your lap. Do I have some drop in the lap blessing people in the church right now? You didn't even see it coming. You were at home crying, wailing, gashing of the teeth, wondering how you was going to make it, and God just dropped it right in your lap. If there's anybody in the house tonight, to this morning, if he drops something in your lap, remember, don't forget God. He just wants you to say thank you. You ain't got to flip down the aisle. You ain't got to walk on your hands. He just wants you to say thank you. If he dropped it in your lap, just say, Lord, thank you. You can even whisper it to him. God ain't hard of hearing. Just say, Lord, thank you. They didn't even see it coming. He just dropped it. Didn't know where it came from. It's right there in the text. They didn't know. The fathers didn't know. But the only thing they knew is they got it. He took care of them. He said, I give you real satisfaction. He said, now, as I bless you, Now here it is, before we go to the next point. He said, before, as I bless you, don't get so caught up in the blessing. Don't get so caught up in the blessings that you think that's the true source of your satisfaction. It is not the blessings that you're satisfied with. It's the blesser. Oh, let me say it again. It's not the blessings that makes me happy. It's the blesser. That he thought of enough of me just to wake me up this morning. He might have woke you up without a dime in your pocket, but you still woke up this morning. He might have woke you up with a little aches and pain in your body, but you still woke up this morning. And to me, you talking about a blessing in your lap. That's a lap blessing right there. Just to wake up in the morning. See, blessings is not all of it. Because you can have a delicious food and not an appetite. You can have an expensive bed but can't sleep. You can have a fine built house but it's not a home. You can have pleasure but no peace. You can have all kind of amusement but no joy. You can have a dozen religious activities but you're still lost. Money can't buy what you really need. And what I've been telling you for the last 5.5 years, outside of salvation, there is nothing like a peace of mind. To lay down at night with a peace of mind. To sleep at night with a peace of mind. To get up in the morning with a peace of mind. To go on your daily occupation with a peace of mind. To get off from work and go home with a peace of mind. This joy that I have, the world didn't give it, and the world can't take it away. So I have real satisfaction. Not only God gives real satisfaction, but then you discover in verse 14 that God gives real goodness. Watch this. And go to verse 13. Watch this. Watch this. And when thy herds and thy flocks multiply, and thy silver and thy gold is multiplied, and all that thou hast is, look at the word terms there, is. When, there's no ifs there. That means that God is going to bless you. But then watch this. He says, after I bless you, then in verse 14, then thy heart be lifted up. And then you forget the Lord that God which brought you forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. God said, after I done healed you, you're going to thank the doctors. After I done bless you, you're going to thank the financial institutions. God says all glory and all credit comes to me. How many believe that God is undoubtedly and genuinely good? I'm letting that sit in the gumbo a while. I'm going to say it again. How many believe undoubtedly and genuinely God is just good? He's so good that he gave his best for the no good. Don't you sit there and look at me like that. We all got some still no good in us. I don't care how many scriptures you know and how well you sing and how well you preach and how well you pray. We all got some no good still in us. But God is still good. You know, if I can just say that, I think that'd be enough. God is just good. Don't have to put no adjective with it. Don't have to put no conjunctions with it. Don't have to put no verb, subject, verb, agreement with it. Just make a statement. God is good. Don't have to add a run-on sentence. Don't have to put nothing. Just say, God is good. He says, when I have given you everything and everything that you have is multiplied. In other words, what he is saying in verse 13 and 14, he says, when your dreams come true everything that you hoped for and prayed for come to pass. God is saying, the only thing I ask you not to forget me. But seeing that we seem to forget God. Not only did God give goodness, but then God gives enablement. Watch this. Now here's the problem many of us have. You want to see what the problem many of us have? After God, the aftermath of blessings, verse 17 is the problem that many of us have. And thou say in thy heart that my power and the might of my hand have gotten me this wealth. After God bless you, even when you wanted to give up in college, even when you wanted to walk away from your job, he kept you. He made you stay there. You stuck it out. You went through hell and high water. You cried. You sighed. You ached and you pained. And he brought you through it. And now here you are at the Mount Zion Missionary Baptist Church in a job on your field. You're the leader on your job. You made it through. You suffered the hard times. And you won't even give God praise because you're too arrogant to say that I did this on my own. It was nobody but God who brought you through. It was nobody but God who gave you the knowledge to make it to where you are right now. I want to feel like Paul. Paul says, I am what I am by the grace of God. You say that my success, all that I have and all that I possess, I did this on my own. Well, then who you think kept you alive? Who you think gave you the right mind? I know people who have doctorate degrees, master degrees, PhDs, and have lost their mind. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. But then here you are, sitting in God's presence, telling God, like it says in verse 17, that I did all of this on my own. But then don't close your Bible on verse 17. Because God keeps on talking. Verse 18 said, but thou shalt remember the Lord thy God. Here we go. Y'all ready? It is he that giveth thee power to get well, that he may establish his covenant which he swore to his fathers as it is this day. God said, all that you have done and succeeded, I am the one that gave you the power to do it. Let me ask you this. How many times in life you felt like giving up? Come on, be real. How many times you felt like just waving the white flag on everything that hold dear to you? But then, here's the second question. How many believe that since I didn't give up, God gave me the power to succeed? Let me say this before I conclude. Do you really believe that the devil is going to let you walk into your purpose? Do you really believe that the devil just going to sit back and let you enjoy the blessings of God? His job is to discourage you. His job is to try to make you turn from God. But you got to tell the devil, you should have killed me when you had me. I done got my taste of God now. Now things are a lot better. And as I conclude, look what God says in verse 19. He said, but it shall be that if thou do all forget the Lord thy God and walk after other gods and serve them and worship them, he said, I testify against you this day that you will surely perish. This is the Lord God speaking. He said, if I have blessed you, after I kept you when you couldn't keep yourself, after I brought you home when you're so drunk you couldn't find your way, and then you decide that you did all this on your own, then God said, I'm going to let you be on your own. Because God said, I want to see who's going to wake you up in the morning. I want to see who's going to bring you through the hell and high water you're going to face. And I don't know about you this morning, Mount Zion, but I know in my heart that it was nobody but Jesus. It was nobody but Jesus. And as I leave here, I want to tell you that God's been good to me. Paul says in Philippians 3:13, watch this. Paul says, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, he said, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. Paul says, I press towards the mark of the prize of the high calling. Then David said in Psalms 103:2, he said, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all of his benefits. When the Lord's been good to you, then you ought to tell somebody that he's been good to you. You see, when you start thinking about the things God has done for you, you shouldn't be able to hold back your praise. When you start thinking about the hell God has brought you through, the sickness he brought you through, you should just wave your hand in the sanctuary and just say, Lord, thank you. See, that's the only thing God requires, that you just say thank you. You know how it feels when you've helped somebody in this life. You went all out of your way for somebody and they never turn around to say thank you. You know how that hurts your feelings. You remember the 10 lepers. They all cried out to Jesus, have mercy on us. Jesus said, go and show yourselves to the priest. As they got up, the body began to heal. 9 was so excited to get back into society. 9 was so excited to tell everybody their body was healed. But as one was running, he had strength in his legs. He found strength in his arms. He was able to speak again. He looked at his hands and they looked new. He looked at his feet and they did too. The leper stopped running. He said, I want to go show the priest, but I got to turn around and go back and tell Jesus, Lord, I just want to say thank you. When he turned around, he went back. He said, thank you, Lord. And Jesus said, where are the 9? Were there not 10 cleansed? Save this one has turned around to give the Lord thanks. He said, go in peace. Be whole of your plague. Your faith have made thee whole. You just missed it. The 9 walked away just with a healing. But the one that came back, he got a healing, not only physically, but he got a spiritual healing. He's got a mental healing. He had an emotional healing. Jesus said, go on and be made whole. Well, what I want to tell you, Mount Zion, when God wakes up billions on a daily basis, a few of us just say, Lord, thank you for another day's journey. But the Lord looks down and say, where are the billions that I woke up this morning? Where are the other ones whose body I have healed? Is there anybody here that just want to say thank you, Lord? Somebody may be saying, well, Reb, I don't know how to say thank you. Or, Reb, I have no reason to thank the Lord. Watch this. When you start thinking, you will start thanking. When you start thinking, thinking how good he's been to you, you will start thanking. When you start thinking how he healed your body, you will start thanking. When you start thinking how he brought you through, you will start thanking. Is there any...
You have been listening to the Mount Zion Missionary Baptist Church broadcast with Reverend Roger.